The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to our Tuesday edition of the Leach Report from Columbia, South Carolina, where the Wildcats play tonight, looking to build on their fast start to SEC play. And we will talk about that matchup with Derek Scott, the radio voice of the Gamecocks, with Larry Vaught, and also with former Wildcat John Hood. That's our guest lineup. It's presented each day by Sleep Outfitters here on the show. Hopefully you guys are staying safe. Bad weather back home from everything I see. So were classes. I think I read classes were canceled at UK. So be safe out there. Settle back. Listen in to our UK sports conversation for the balance of the show. You can interact via Twitter @LeachReport. Email LeachReport@gmail.com. Or you can call toll-free 877-904-1080. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. By the way, let me change one thing. I would say rather than use the show account for Twitter, use add @TomLeachKY, my personal Twitter feed, to anything you any questions you have that you send along via that platform, because on the road here, I don't have access to the show Twitter feed. So, appreciate you joining us. Let's get right to the news of the day. Kentucky and South Carolina. Gamecocks coming off a big win at Georgia that improved them to 2-3 in the league, 11-6 overall. The Gamecocks lost both Dozier and Thornwell, their two best players from the Final Four team. Thornwell was a senior, but Dozier, I think probably before they made their tournament run, they were thinking they might get back. So now they are a team that doesn't shoot it very well, but still very good defensively. 17th in the country in defensive efficiency, according to KenPom.com. Very physical, per usual, from Frank Martin's teams. They force a lot of turnovers, and they do a good job at limiting offensive rebounds, two things that have been issues at times for Kentucky. Well, not issues in terms of the offensive rebounds. It's one thing they're good at. And so South Carolina has a chance maybe to neutralize that. And the Cats have at times had tendencies, although not as much lately, for high turnover games. So South Carolina, very good defensively, very physical. It should be an ugly game. And they won, I think, by shooting under 30% maybe against Georgia. So it won't be pretty, but it's the kind of game that Kentucky needs to be able to win to make a run in March, and so it'll be won't be easy, but should be a good test tonight. Kenny Payne filled in for Cal at the day before the game news conference yesterday. He said at that point, Quade Green had not yet returned to practice. Now, they were going to practice after that news conference, so we don't know if he perhaps worked out there, but at the moment, Quade has not returned to practice. Nick Richards, Kenny was asked about his development, Nick Richards' development, and he had a good long answer about how well Nick's playing in practice. He's just having trouble transferring it over to games. You may have seen a glimpse of it on Saturday down at Vanderbilt. I thought he played really well early, very alert, had a nice block, had a couple of buckets, one off a play where Gilgeous Alexander came off a pick and then Nick rolled to the basket, got fed for a layup. So he got a good start, but it seems like when a little adversity comes his way, then he doesn't bounce back from it. So it is a growing process for freshmen in college basketball that all happens at different timetables. But he's a guy that they still believe has a lot of upside for them. Kentucky up to number 18 in the new Associated Press poll. Number 7, Duke, was down double digits to Miami and came back to win on the road 83-75. Similar story for Kansas. They were down double digits at West Virginia, which I think is an even harder place to win, and they came back and won 71-66. Kentucky, of course, goes into West Virginia a week from Saturday. Kentucky women lost last night at Vanderbilt 70-55, and the consistent theme for Kentucky's losses is an inability to put the ball in the hole, and they had issues with that last night, just haven't been able to score. And Macy Morris being out last night with her knee bruise certainly wasn't going to help that. Taylor Murray had a big game with 23, but Kentucky a couple of weeks ago had that 70-point game in a loss, albeit at Texas A&M, but I thought maybe they had broken through. Not the case yet. They, if they can start to make shots, they can start to win some games, I think. Yesterday was a big day for hoops, especially a lot of high school powerhouses playing on the holiday. And Keldon Johnson had a big game for Oak Hill. 21 points, which wasn't a massive number, but a tremendously positive reaction on social media from a lot of observers about how his game looked and how he's growing. Good shooter. And you've got Tyler Hero, which we're going to talk to Larry about here in a bit, a story he did about him. So you got a couple of good shooters, good scoring wings coming in for Kentucky next season. Put January 28th on your calendar. It's the baseball softball fan day at the University of Kentucky. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, and we're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Heading to a break, Derek Scott, radio voice of the Gamecocks. We'll come right back on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
Welcome back into the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. We're coming to you from Columbia, South Carolina, and we're joined now by Derek Scott of the South Carolina Radio Network. And we'll start by talking about the win on Saturday, Derek, at Georgia. So beating the Dogs would be a good win on any floor, but to do it in Athens was particularly impressive. What was notable about the way South Carolina got out with a win?
That they shot the ball so poorly and won on the road. Good morning to you. 27.1% from the field, which was the lowest shooting percentage of the season, and they managed to win a game doing so, and I think they were the first team in almost three full years in Division I basketball to shoot that low of a percentage and win a road game.
Strong, and that just kind of jives with what the MO is for Coach Martin's teams typically, and I guess this one in particular, is that they're really winning with defense.
Yes, and you know, the head scratcher here is when we were in Nashville at SEC Media Day, Frank said he thought this team was going to be the best shooting team he had had at South Carolina. And I know my eyebrows raised when he said it, but it just has not materialized in that manner. You just still don't have guys really that you can count on to consistently knock down shots. And really, they weren't bad shots they got against Georgia. I thought they moved the ball about as well as they have in some time, but they just weren't falling. They grinded it out by getting to the free throw line a bunch and actually making them. And winning the glass, and as you just pointed out, doing what his best teams always do, and that is making life miserable for the opposition at their offensive end of the court.
How has life changed for the Gamecocks program after what they did last season?
Well, we're playing 9 p.m. games on ESPN. That's probably the first sign, because this is not a program that was usually chosen for that slot too often in the past. So I think we've got four 9 p.m. games this year, and our fan base is relatively grumpy about it. That's not something they're used to or something that they particularly embrace. So I'm curious to see what the response is tonight. But that, and then the fact that, you know, when you lose so much firepower, and obviously Kentucky deals with losing that much firepower every year, but it's not the norm here, and so much of the scoring is gone, and you lose a SEC Player of the Year in Sendarius Thornwell, there's going to be a period of time, I guess recovery is the word, rebuild to some degree. And that's what this team is going through. You know, PJ Dozier, I think some thought he might stay. Had he done so, this would be, you know, a completely different looking team. But he's working one of those two-way contracts, spending a lot of time in the G League. And then the person who was pegged to take over for him, a point guard, Roth Felder, had an incident off campus at a bar down in the Five Points area, was kicked out of school for a semester. And so, You move on down the line at point guard to a transfer from Delaware, Corey Holden, who had patella tendon surgery in his knee and has not responded in the manner they thought he would. And next thing you know, Hassani Gravitt, your starting point guard, and that's the guy who would have been your fourth choice coming into the season if you would have gone back to where you thought or hoped you might have P.J. Dozier. So that's been the biggest challenge, is getting consistent guard play and getting, you know, someone to run this offense in a steady manner to set everything else up.
Silva, the guy they play through?
Yes, very much so. And, you know, Frank's still very much embracing and has for years the play inside out offensively. And certainly with this team, he doesn't have a whole lot of choice. Silva's the most experienced and the most talented player. So if he can manage the double teams that he sees a lot of and stay out of foul trouble, which has always been the challenge for him, when that happens, this team can win. He played a career-high 35 minutes at Georgia, and that was absolutely night and day difference as to what it would have looked like had he been in his normal slot as far as how many minutes he's been averaging this season.
Talk with Derek Scott, radio voice of the South Carolina Gamecocks, as Kentucky gets set to play here tonight in Columbia. Is it sold out? Do you know?
I have not heard that, no, and that's why I say, you know, I'm curious to see with this 9 p.m. time slot. What they did is, obviously, Kentucky legendary for coming in and taking over your building, and so this was the one game where only Gamecock Club members were allowed to buy tickets for the longest of times, and then they finally released the rest of those tickets last week, and so I don't know what the response has been in that time period to know if it's close to a sellout. I don't think it is. I think if it is, I would have heard that by now. So I'm not sure what that will look like. Students, thankfully, are finally back on campus. And in our building, that's the difference between a really good atmosphere and one that's, you know, rather mundane, is when you have that the students bringing the energy, and this will be their first game on campus. So I think that will take things to another level, regardless of whether it's a complete sellout or not.
Derek, appreciate the time. I think you and I are going to speak to the South Carolina Tip-Off Club later today, so I will see you later on.
All right, Tom. And at that point in time, I fully expect you to be able to offer me some Kentucky Derby future prep tips, so come equipped with that, please.
Baffert won again yesterday. Just bet on Baffert.
No Keep shocker there. All right, thanks, man.
We'll
see you later.
That's Derek Scott. Bob Baffert, one of his horses, won the Smarty Jones Stakes yesterday out at Oaklawn Park. We are heading to a break, 22 after the top of the hour. Coming to you from Columbia, South Carolina, Larry Vaux next up.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Larry Vaught joins the program now. How's the weather your way, Larry?
Not good. I'm hoping you're telling me that the weather is nice in Columbia, because I'm trying to get to the interstate to meet Keith Taylor so I can ride to Columbia with him. But roads between the big cities of Stamford and Mount Vernon are not exactly high-maintenance areas, I don't think.
Well, I don't know when it'll get better, but I can tell you, I can give you eyewitness weather report. Looking out the weather window right now, it is bright sunshine, and there's not a flake of snow anywhere.
Okay, that sounds good. That's all I wanted to know. If you told me it was snowing, I was turning around.
I don't know what point you'll hit this kind of weather, but it's here. It's
okay, you know, well, good. That's what I wanted to hear, Tom. Thank you.
It's a light at the end of the tunnel for you, and it's not an oncoming train.
Okay, good.
Let's talk a little bit about this game, this week, really, because big week for Kentucky. I think this is, well, I was about to say, this is a road game you could certainly lose, and that's true, I think, of any game in the league this year. But you got this one, and you got Florida at home. If you get these two, then Kentucky has a stretch where they've got more home games than road games over the next couple of weeks, and so you're really sitting pretty if you come out of this week with two more wins.
Yeah, you sure are. One of the contributors on my website told me that in the time that John Calipari has been at Kentucky, that if any year that a team's been able to win four road games and go undefeated at home, which I'm sure most years Kentucky, that's always been enough to win the league title. And four of the years that Calipari has been in Kentucky, if you could win three road games and then go undefeated at home, it's been enough to either win or at least share the league title. So if Kentucky gets another road win tonight, that's pretty huge.
Yeah, and I think, you know, using that formula, any road win above four gives you the opportunity to drop one at home and still finish first in the league. And I think finishing first in the league is that's probably going to, in a league this strong, if you are at the top of the league this year, you're going to get a good seed on Selection Sunday.
I think so, too. And it really is kind of a strange year, Tom, because like we're all talking about how difficult it's going to be to win games on the road. But I also think the league is strong enough, balanced enough, whatever word you want to use, that it's going to be difficult to win all your games at home more so than a lot of years, because there's not that much separation from top to number 9 or 10 on any given night. Even when you're playing at home, that might not be enough.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because Kentucky, you're right now, being as young as it is still, you know, Calipari has said as recently as last week, he's still experimenting on things about, he always talks about finding the best way to play and things about defending pick and roll, for example, they did last week. He's still changing things. So ideally, at some point as a coach, you want to get to a point where you're doing, this is how we're playing this, and this is how we're running our offense, and this is who we're going through, and this is who we're going to late, and all of those things that you want to have kind of locked down. And they're not there yet, which, you know, with a team this young, it's, you know, getting to that point, there's no gauge for, you know, for sure what the timeline's going to be. You hope it happens by the latter part of February, at least.
Yeah, you sure do. And having guys not able to play or practice for stretches of time has certainly been, an irritant to John Calipari, because that's something he really hadn't had to deal with a whole lot. At Kentucky, he's been fortunate in that area, and that kind of slows down your development when you don't have guys only not playing in games but not out there practicing. And I still think that they're going to get to a much better point than what they are right now, but as you say, they've still got some things to do. And I just don't remember this late in the season John talking about so many little simple things that he thinks they ought to be doing, and they haven't quite got it yet.
You write at VossFuse.com about Evan Henson for South Carolina, guy they recruited over from the football team and the impact he's making.
Yeah, and he's given them some toughness, which is hard to imagine, Frank Martin's team needing toughness, but it's given them some toughness there at the guard spot, and he had 8 points in that win at Georgia. And what's kind of interesting to me is that he plays tight end on the football team and he plays guard on the basketball team.
I thought that was interesting, too.
Yeah, that's not exactly where you think a tight end would be. And it still oftentimes sometimes kind of makes me wonder why sometimes a few other college coaches aren't a little more open-minded about maybe looking on that football team, and if it worked out, finding a guy or two that could come play 10, 12, 14 minutes and maybe add something to their team. I mean, there's a lot of guys on the Kentucky football team that were really, really good basketball players in high school. So I kind of credit Frank Martin for reaching out there and pulling this one out, and they've won 2 games with him, so it's definitely helped.
We'll be right back on the Leach Report Radio Network.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Report served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Larry Vaught with us from VaughtsViews.com. You can also read him at LEX18.com. We were talking going into the break, Larry, about Evan Henson, the South Carolina football player that's been recruited over to the basketball team. Coach Hall did that, I remember, in the early to mid-70s with Elmore Stevens and Daryl Bishop when his basketball team was shorthanded around 73, 74, maybe, I'm thinking. You know, there was Lonel DeWalt kind of got a tryout with a basketball team, and they decided not to go there and bring him onto the basketball team when Tubby was here. Can you remember any other guys?
No, I really can't. I was in school when you were talking about Elmore Stevens and all coming on to the team there, and they were really favorites among the students. We really liked watching them get out there and play. But now it hasn't been done in Kentucky. Maybe at a high-profile school, it wouldn't work, even though you think in a situation like this year when you're down to seven healthy scholarship players, it might have been a good year to have tried it.
Who's the best basketball player on the football team that you know of?
I think it would depend on who you ask, Tom, because a lot of them will tell you they're the best. I think Jordan Wright is one that comes to mind for me. I think Lynn Bowden was a really intense type guy, not the most skilled guy I've seen play on the basketball court, but man, you talk about a guy that could get after you and could get after people out on that basketball court, especially for short periods of time. So there's two that jump to mind right there. And then I think Lonnie Johnson and Josh Allen, who both have Josh has a sister playing at Louisville, and Lonnie has what he's called his sister, a really good friend, both playing at Louisville, and they were both really good high school basketball players.
You get the chance to get to know some of the families of these players through the recruiting process and then the time that they're here. And it's leading me to Jared Vanderbilt, one of the players who could help the depth issue for Kentucky. What's your take on how this is playing out at the moment?
Yeah, it's really funny, and I hate that the way it has played out. It's made some people kind of question some things about Jared Vanderbilt, because he's one of the better young men I think I've ever been around, and he's had some injuries for three seasons. I don't think he would be at Kentucky if he didn't want to be playing at Kentucky. I thought from the very first time I saw him, I think I probably talked with you about it, when he was a junior playing in one of the showcase events here in Kentucky, how he was perfect for John Calipari's system. And I think Kenny Payne really did a good job yesterday kind of addressing that issue. But I think Jared's going to play. I mean, I just don't buy into this that he's just not wanting to play now if he don't want to hurt his NBA stock and this and that. I think he's just got to be convinced in his own mind that he's ready. But like I said, this is a kid that missed part of his junior season and part of his senior season, both with injuries. And I don't think he wants to take a chance on doing something that he shouldn't. And I think he's going to get there. It's just still going to take a little bit of time. But I think he's going to play. And when he does, I think Kentucky fans are really going to like him. Do I think he's a guy that just automatically vaults you up to national championship contender? No, but he certainly helps that part of the puzzle work for you.
Let's move on to a future Wildcat that you wrote about at LAX18.com, Tyler Hero. You caught up with his high school coach, and Tyler's been putting up some big numbers.
Yeah, he's having a fabulous season. He missed a couple of weeks there with a ankle injury and then came back, and the first two games back he had 34 and then 42. So that's a pretty good way to come back from an injury. And what impresses me is that when Kentucky got him, I think everybody thought, wow, what a great three-point shooter and scorer that he's going to be, and he is. But the more people I've talked to recently have talked about how much he's improved his defense this year, and I think he's one of those guys that's just kind of a tireless worker, that gym rat type of guy that John Calipari really likes, and I think he's going to be a really nice addition to Kentucky. And it was also kind of interesting to listen to the abuse, I guess you would say, that he's taken from Wisconsin fans after decommitting to Wisconsin and signing with Kentucky in about a three-week period, and how the coach talked about when they go on the road to play that Tyler hears it every game, but that he's just kind of got used to it, and he just kind of lets his play do the talking. So he'll kind of be used to hostile crowds when he gets to Kentucky.
I guess so. And you also wrote about Zion Harmon, the young man who caught the attention of basketball fans here at Kentucky at the Sweet 16 last year with Bowling Green. Now he's over at Adair County.
He is, and he's something to behold, Tom. He's a lot like Tyler Ulis. You just have to see him play to really appreciate what he can do. I mean, he's a terrific scorer, a brilliant passer, and just one of the best kids you could ever be around off the basketball court. I got a chance to watch him do a clinic along with Gary Trent Sr. down at the Mustang McCracken County Mustang Madness, and it was something to watch him react with kids and how well he got along with them and how these kids bonded with him. So he's going to reclassify. So even though he's a freshman right now, he will be in that 2020 recruiting class. And I think right now you would say it's either Kentucky or it's Kansas. Those are the two schools that really stand out to him. I think he likes Kentucky the best. I think his dad might lean a little bit toward Kansas right now. But I tell you, he's a terrific, terrific player and really fun to watch. If you get a chance to see him, I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Talk with Larry Vaught. You can read him at vaughtsviews.com, lex18.com on the web. As Kentucky gets set to play here at South Carolina tonight, where Larry's going to be headed soon. This is a Kentucky team that seems to, I think, frustrate fans a little bit because they don't have that big marquee win yet, maybe, or they're playing in a lot of close games. I think the fact that a team this young is finding a way to win close games is a positive in itself.
Yeah, it kind of reminds you a little bit how maybe this is a carryover from football, that winning just isn't good enough right now. You got to win a certain way because I just don't think there are any bad road wins in the SEC, even for UK basketball anymore. I mean, this is not a dominant UK team yet. Maybe it will be by March because we've seen that happen a couple of times. But they are finding ways to win, and you see individual parts getting better. Now you just need to see that team getting better. I thought it was really interesting what Kenny Payne was talking about with Nick Richards yesterday and how maybe he's got to go out and just quit thinking so much and just go play like he does. I think we've seen that happen with P.J. Washington. I mean, I think Shea has certainly got it figured out as what's going on there. I think you just need now to get Kevin Knox a little more consistent. You need to get Quaddy Green back healthy. And then I think Wynyan and Sasha have both really got their roles and know what's going on there. I thought it was really good yesterday when Kenny was talking about with Sasha that if he hunts a shot, he's probably not going to make it. If he just does what he's supposed to and the ball hunts him, that's when he scores. And Sasha seems to be getting that. And I like the toughness he kind of adds to the team. And I still think they're going to be pretty good by March. I know I'm still in the kind of the minority right now, but I still think there's enough things that you want to like about this team come March. I think they're going to get a lot better in these next 6 weeks.
Larry, travel safely. We'll see you down here tonight.
All right, Tom. Thank you.
Larry Vaught, and we are brought to you each day, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, two locations, Hamburg and the Palomar Center. Locally owned and operated Wild Eggs is open 7 days a week. They have a gluten-free menu as well if you're eating a little healthier. And if you just want to splurge, man, great pancakes, fantastic omelets. They have a homemade cinnamon roll. We've tweeted out pictures before of that from Wild Eggs. So check any and all out at your next visit to Wild Eggs. We'll be right back with John Hood.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
4th quarter now for the Leach Report Radio Network on this Tuesday from Columbia, South Carolina. We are always served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, and we are joined by John Hood. And Hoodie played for your career for John Calipari. So I'll start with this. How surprised are you that Kentucky is playing as much zone as it is?
It's shocking.
Did you guys even practice any zone in your career?
Well, we practiced zone, but never got put in. And never got put in for the game, which was always pretty weird because there were some situations where we needed to play extended amounts of zone. And he's also had other teams that I think they should have played extended amounts of zone as well. But it's Coach Cal.
And he's committed to his system. But he has been persuaded to expand his thinking. And it's been effective for this team.
Yes, it has. It's been very effective for this team.
This is a team that I think we all thought would be really good defensively just because of their length. So I guess the question is, Can they still get there at roughly halfway through the regular season? How do they become a better defensive team?
They can, and the way they become a better defensive team is you have to have someone on this team, someone on the roster, go to Coach Cal in his office or before the game and vocally say, I want their best player. I want the guy. DeAndre Liggins did that, and he's still floating around in the NBA because he is a defensive stopper and is a tough player. And this team has long athletic guards like that. Gildas Alexander, for one, Hamidou Diallo has all of the tools to be a great defender. And it's another thing they have to do is play the entire possession. They cannot quit on plays.
And you know that part of it is something that certainly you can see how they can be coached into doing that. The first part of that, I would think the guy who ought to do that, I don't know if he's there yet in his own mind, but I think that's where I've always thought that the model Hamidou Diallo should follow should be DeAndre Liggins, that he's going to come with that kind of energy and defensive effort, and he would then add to it better offensive skill set for a chance to not only he'll get to the NBA, but the most important thing is to stay in the NBA, and DeAndre's been able to do it, and Hami's got the kind of build that he could be that kind of defender, I would think.
Yes, he does, and Diallo is much more I don't want to badmouth my former teammate, but much more athletic than DeAndre Liggins. And the only thing that Dre has and had on Diallo at this point in their careers is the mindset. DeAndre had the mindset, even in the NCAA tournament, that he was going to shut Harrison Barnes down. There was not going to be any containment of Harrison Barnes. It was going to be Harrison Barnes was going to have 0 points. He went into that game thinking that, and every game with whoever he got matched up on that year and whatever, and all the years that he was here, that he was going to make a difference on the defensive end of the floor, cause turnovers, and then get out in transition and finish much like Diallo does.
DeAndre's a great example of the fact that fans should never lock into opinions that they won't change on players. I'll phrase it that way because things can change. Guys can change. Circumstances can change. DeAndre, early in his career, refused to go into a game out in Las Vegas, and he and Billy were having issues. And that's the kind of thing that is not going to sit well with fans, certainly, and to the point where he became, as you're saying, the ultimate team guy for a team that got to the Final Four in 2011.
Exactly. DeAndre Liggins is and will always go down as one of my favorite teammates that I've ever played with because he would do anything for you on the court, off the court. He always had your back. It didn't matter what the circumstance. It didn't matter if he had to leave his man who was wide open and who he would leave wide open in the corner. So he could cover your man, he would cover your man and still get back to his. And it would be bad the next morning in film session, but DeAndre would always cover for you.
Yeah, it sounds like, and it's not surprising with the team full of freshmen, that Cal's looking to develop that mindset in these guys. And it could happen tonight. It could happen a month from now. And it could not happen because DeAndre was a senior or a junior, I guess, when that was unfolding.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Talk with John Hood. It's at John Hood 4 on Twitter?
Yes.
What else do you see in this Kentucky team that encourages you? And then on the other side, what are the biggest concerns you have that they've got to address before March?
I think, like everyone, I'm anxiously waiting to see Jared Vanderbilt on the floor in a UK uniform. I'm anxious to see what he brings to the table. We know what Kenny Payne says that he's going to bring to the table. We know what kind of player Cal says he is. I'm interested to see if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander plays a little more off the ball, and Vanderbilt brings it up, much like what the 76ers are doing right now with Ben Simmons. I want to see if he is that type of player. I'm not saying he is Ben Simmons. I'm saying that he could have that type of skill set.
Yeah, Kenny said yesterday he is he used the word point forward, or three is point forward to describe him.
And that's very exciting. If you have a player like that who is a legit point forward at 6'9", 6'10", whatever he is, that makes the game fun and also makes it much easier for all of the other teammates.
The other thing that could – I remember Cal saying that Jared was their best shot blocker. This was back in before the season started. You know, as a team that is full of freshmen, you can tell me if this is accurate, but I don't think you're going to become great one-on-one defenders. What you can become is a good defensive team by helping and recovering and covering up for – teammates and having a guy block shots that erases mistakes, and that's what could certainly help this team, because I don't think they can get better defensively, but it's not like they're all of a sudden going to become DeAndre Liggins level stoppers.
Right. You don't have to have a team full of stoppers. You need one guy that can get you a few stops in big situations, and the rest of the team needs to scramble around to where it looks like there's six defenders on the court. And if someone does get beat, you need to have someone that can protect the rim or at least alter the shots that are coming in as layups or floaters.
And you guys didn't have a classic shot blocker on that 2011 team, but Josh could block some. Terrence Jones blocked a fair amount. So it became a team that was hard to score on around the rim.
Right. And the reason it was hard to score, like you said, is we had guys that would block shots occasionally. I mean, no one was blocking an Anthony Davis or Nerlens Noel amount. But the defenders on that team also never let anybody straight line drive them. They always had to go either 1 yard to the left, 1 yard to the right. And I know it doesn't seem like a lot to the average fan, but when you're having to change your course and go out of your way to try to get to the rim, it allows for other people to help.
That's a very good point, because that's something that this team has struggled with it for long stretches. John, appreciate the time.
Thank you.
That's John Hood, and we are getting to a break to come back to wrap up this edition of the Leach Report Radio Network. Donato Slice of Wildcat history. This day in 1996, Kentucky won a game at LSU in which it gave up 97 points because it scored 129. That was down in Baton Rouge on this day in 96. And a happy birthday to a player with one of the all-time great Kentucky basketball nicknames, Richard the Master Blaster Madison. Celebrating the birthday today. We'll see you tomorrow. Ryan's going to sit in for me, Ryan Lemon, on the Leach Report.
TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page.